Oh, absolutely. The men, you know, one thing that people have to realize is you had four men's teams really in the mix. That's 16 skiers skiing at or above the best team that Germany could put forth, let alone the United States. And I think a lot of, you know, Rob Whitney and I were having that conversation on email today, and it's easy to say, wow, Norway really is going to blow everybody away. But I think the thing you got to realize is that, yes, they have the deepest nation of skiers in the world, but they're all trying to make the Olympic team right now. Whereas most nations kind of know who their players are going to be in Sochi, and they don't really want, you know, do you really want your four best Germans cranking in early December?
Sure,
with
yeah.
the Olympics looming in February. And I think that a lot of these people you see really flying for Norway, you got, especially there when they're 20, you know, 21, 22, you know, are they really able at that age to have the kind of form they're displaying in early December and have that same form accessible to them in February? And I think that's what the coaches, obviously, I think when you think of Trond Nystedt, that's what Trond Nystedt and even the U.S. ski team, they have to be kind of looking like, who can we go to? Who do we know will still be there at a high level in February when the medals are on the line in Sochi? So it's sort of a, I look at it as, it's not indicative of the real world. When you have a nation as strong as Norway and a depth like Norway, they're going to come into a December World Cup and put four guys teams that high. But will they be able to do that in February? I think not. I think that when all teams are running on full Olympic cylinders, that I don't think there's going to be four Norwegian teams at the Olympic Games time that can beat that many teams.
Yeah, that's interesting. The other thing, is this is a long season. Not everybody is going to do the Tour de Ski this year. In fact, recently Chris Grover told me he didn't expect Keegan to be doing the Tour de Ski this year, spending that time in Davos preparing. Alex Harvey started a bit slow, but then last week 16th place in one of the races. And we know what Kershaw is able to do, for example, too. So, I mean, the focal point of this season is really the Olympic Games in Sochi. And, not everybody has to be firing, as you said, on all Olympic cylinders in December.
Well, absolutely. I think any of us who have coached this sport for any amount of time, we realize that even with seasoned athletes, it's hard to stretch form 2 to 3 months long. I mean, even when you see Petter Northug or Ole Einar Bjørndalen in there, they're bowing out of World Cups when they see their form starting to dwindle to go back and bolster some base. And the Canadians are a great example. I think Justin Wadsworth does a really great job with that program with championship events. They realize that, you give up a little something to be rocking in December. And we've seen Canada, kind of start with doom and gloom in December and have, win a world championship in the team sprint. And I think that, there's so much yet to play out that, everybody gets so prickly in an Olympic year at this time of the year, and we're so, amazed with the Norwegians right now. But that's the thing. I think you always have to be a wait-and-see attitude. And when you're coaching, when you're in the position of a Chris Grover or a Matt Wickham or a Jason Cork or a Justin Wadsworth or Trond Nystedt of Norway, you really have to have the long-term view in an Olympic year. The great thing that Trond has with Norway is the fact that he's got so much depth that he can win all year. And, the players might change over the course of a year, but you can always be at a top level if you're Norway.
Yeah, and I also wanted to ask you about the home team, Russia, because they ended up having a very fine men's relay the other day. Russia at home, I think, is going to be very, very strong. What say you?
Oh, I totally agree. I think it's funny you should bring up the relay. I've been waiting for what Russia did to happen for the last...
Yeah, I have too, Chad. Yeah.
You sit there, and even Northug came across the line kind of, at the World Championships going, well, they just handed it to me. When are people going to figure this out? And they said, the one thing that I have to say about that is it was the right strategy. If I was calling that race, which I wasn't for anybody, but I would have been pointing out that Vilek Janin was taking the sprint out of Northug for the final kilometer, and you could see it. Northug had to keep trying. Now, Northug didn't catch Vilek Janin, but Northug clearly isn't in his best form. And the big question is, can Russia do it? Can Russia do that in Sochi? I think they can. I think they've proven that there's a strategy, but there's an asterisk to it. Can they pull that same strategy when Northug isn't his finest fitness, and he's clearly not there right now? Why he's not, I'm still trying to figure that out and trying to, you know, get my feelers out there in the Nordic world to see, you know, what did Petter do this summer.
Yeah.
But he's clearly not at his best form. Whether that's intentional, I don't know. It sure seems like it. He's not looking like he's disappointed.
Yeah. Do you have any sense, Chad, how Colonia's coming along? I saw pictures on the internet with him on sort of a sit ski kneeling the other day. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I don't. You know, I wish I could say I was more on top of the Colonia situation than I currently am. I'm kind of just waiting to see what happens when he gets back on.
Yeah.
You know, if he's kneeling on a sit ski, that's clearly not a great thing. But, you know, look at what happened to Keegan last year. Keegan had a rough fall. She broke her foot. And, you know, talking to Keegan, she thought it was a great thing. She didn't realize it at the time, but it probably mellowed her out a little bit and rested her more than she would have otherwise rested if she didn't have the broken foot. And, you know, she attributed part of her great results last year to the broken foot.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah.
Colonia might be just perfectly fit for the Olympics because of that.
Absolutely. Well, Chad, just want to shift very quickly to your 9-to-5 job. You've been coaching at the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth for a couple of years in the Central Division, and your program is certainly making headway. I sense very much when I see your posts on social media, not only are you dedicated to this, but you really, really love it.
Oh, yeah. I'm going into my 8th season, which is, you know, I kind of figured I'd be here at least a decade, but if not more. But you know, I think coaching has always been in my blood. I think in the Nordic world, because I do the NBC coverage, you know, I have the last couple times that a lot of people think that that's kind of like my passion. But I remember Luke Bodensteiner asked me once, he goes, well, if there's one thing you could be, an announcer or a coach, which would it be? Do you think you're better at? And I said, well, I like coaching better. and it's the truth. I think that when you can touch a young person's life at that point in their life, when they're becoming an adult, when they're getting on their own and coming out of their home and getting away from under their parents, you know, these college athletes are really finding their way in life. And I really like coaching at the collegiate level above all other levels. I've been a national team assistant coach, and I've been a high school running coach. And the high school level was just a little too rudimentary for me, and the national team level, I mean, admittedly, it was a little serious and a little draining. I don't slack off anybody who does a job. I think it's a really hard job to be a national team coach. But this coaching position is kind of the sweet spot for me. I can have a normal life with my family. I can see my kids most of the summer, but I still get to you know, help affect kids realizing their athletic and human potential. And college skiing is very unique in that respect because of the setting and because of the level. It's a high level of sport. It's not the highest, but it's also, you know, you have to make way for practical things in life. And it's really a dream job for me. I really enjoy it. The hardest thing that I have with it is, can I do this job when I'm 60 years old?
Right.
Because
of course.
What it requires. It's a lot of energy and a lot of time, and the winters are really tiring. But
yeah,
you hit the nail on the head. I mean, this is what I love to do, and this program has been my life's work.
Well, Chad, we thank you for talking with us today. A very interesting program, and certainly we'll see you before Sochi. But wishing you all the very best to your team over there, and we look forward to some great results and seeing some terrific coverage as well.
Thanks, Peter. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. Well, this has been Talking with the Gravy Train. I'm Peter Graves. Remember, we'd like to have feedback from you. Leave it on our website at skitracks.com. So long for now.